You're listening to Circle A Radio. On January 19, 2006, Portland Police Chief Derek Foxworth announced an arbitrator had overturned the suspension of Portland Police Officer Scott McAllister. He was suspended for 5.5 months following the fatal shooting of Kendra James, an unarmed 21-year-old, during a traffic stop on May 25, 2003. The arbitrator, John Truesdale, wrote, quote, "My finding is based on my conclusions that the failure to conduct an internal affairs investigation led to a fatal gap in the information available to the chief on which to base his decision," unquote. The chief of the Portland Police at the time was Mark Croker, who testified during the arbitration hearings that he did not think there was a need for a full internal affairs investigation because the shooting had been investigated thoroughly. Truesdale ordered the city to pay McAllister's back wages and to expunge the suspension from his record. A shooting review board has unanimously advised that a Clackamas County Sheriff's deputy and a Sandy police officer did not violate law enforcement policies and procedures during the events surrounding the fatal shooting of 27-year-old Fouad Kadi on September 8, 2005. The seven-member board, an internal procedural response to any officer-involved shooting, presented its findings in a 27-page report Saturday, January 1st, to Sheriff Craig Roberts and Undersheriff Charles Bowen. The report read, quote, "It is not the goal nor mission of the SRB to reinvestigate the case nor determine criminal liability. Instead, it is designed to determine compliance or noncompliance to all applicable existing rules and regulations and current trainings relative to the specific incident. Kadi was killed just before 1 p.m. September 8th near Cottrell Grade School, just north of Sandy. Officers found Kadi bloody and naked after the Gresham man was involved in two hit-and-run accidents. Afraid to touch Kadi due to the abundance of blood on his body, officers Willard and Burgeon attempted to get the suspect on the ground. When verbal commands and tasers were ineffective, Kadi ran past the officers to the top of Burgeon's squad car. The officers then opened fire, reportedly because Kadi was getting too close to a shotgun that was left on the hood of the car. A grand jury cleared Burgeon and Willard of any wrongdoing, and both officers are back to work." In the Shooting Review Board's report, the board reviewed the events in light of the Sheriff's Office rules and regulations, specifically regarding conduct, the use of force, the use of firearms, apprehension and arrest, miscellaneous procedures, and taser use. The officers were found compliant in all of the 33 policies and procedures reviewed. Although the officers were said to be in compliance with all the listed policies and procedures deemed relevant to the case, witness testimony, including that of the officers themselves, indicated that a breach of firearms had occurred when Willard left his loaded shotgun on the hood of the patrol car. Specifically, in Chapter 14, Section 5.1 of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office Code, any shotgun in possession of a deputy will be secure at all times. From witness testimony, it was made clear that the shotgun was not secure during the encounter with Kadi, and the presence of the unsecured weapon was used as a justification for opening fire on the suspect. Neither case was addressed in the Shooting Review Board's report. On Wednesday, January 25th, the Oregonian reported that the city of Portland paid a national expert on deadly force to testify before the grand jury that would eventually clear Portland police officer Jason Sary of killing James Jahar Perez. Eldon M. Rosenthal, the attorney representing the family of Perez, contends the city brought in the expert to testify in front of the grand jury to bolster the actions of Sary and to expend, quote, "substantial taxpayer dollars to ensure a favorable outcome of the grand jury," unquote. Prosecutors call expert witnesses to testify in trials, but the grand jury proceedings are unlike trial courts. The grand jury is held in secret and is where the prosecution alone lays out its side of the case. It is the role of the grand jury to decide whether criminal charges are warranted. City attorneys say the expert, William Lewinsky, a law enforcement professor at Minnesota State University, Mankato, was hired to educate jurors in a complex case. They couldn't recall another time when an outside expert was hired to provide testimony in a grand jury review of a police shooting. Rosenthal, the attorney representing the family of Perez, learned through pretrial discovery in the family's wrongful death suit against the Portland Police Bureau that Lewinsky was paid $6,294 to testify before the grand jury and the public inquest that followed. The city of Portland paid the cost. Perez, 28, was killed in the driver's seat of his car March 28, 2004, during a traffic stop.
Because
a Multnomah County grand jury deliberated about 90 minutes on
April 22, 2004, like
before finding no criminal wrongdoing
theme
by Jason
may be
Perry.
Out next season. However, the Asian theme has maintained for such a long time, and it's such a classic and
these
diverse
recent stories
at the same
are part
time
of a continuing epidemic of
design,
violence in
and there's
Portland
so much you can do,
counties.
And there's so many sects of the
tonight
Asian cultures
radio,
that have
we'll
their own
Reverend
beautiful
Dr.
artwork
Haynes, Jr.,
that it kind of incorporates itself into style and home.
And Candace Larson of Rose City Cop Watch about police violence and accountability. We'll also hear from Christian Williams, author of Our Enemies in Blue. This is Candace Larson.
The brief history of this case is in 2003, a young woman named Kendra James was stopped by the police. It was a routine traffic stop. The officers weren't getting the compliance that they wanted from her. She allegedly attempted to move the vehicle instead of exiting it when the officers asked her to, and Scott McAllister shot her and killed her. She was unarmed and died at the scene. There were all kinds of additional details where they handcuffed her after she had been shot and killed, put her in the street, and didn't administer any first aid. All kinds of disgusting attendant details to that. But that was the nuts and bolts of what happened. One of the things that came out a little bit later is that instead of those cops being interrogated by the internal affairs or the internal police review process immediately, as was policy, they went out to dinner and got the details of their stories together before they were investigated by internal affairs. There was obviously a tremendous amount of public rage and sadness and demands for some sort of accountability. How was this big armed male person able to shoot and kill a unarmed woman at a traffic stop and have no accountability? Scott McAllister was not charged with murder. He wasn't indicted. He wasn't put in jail. He wasn't fired. He wasn't anything. The sum total of his punishment, and this punishment was in fact a pretty dramatic punishment, unfortunately, in the world of accountability for police officers. The sum total of his punishment was he was suspended without pay for 5 months for the shooting of Kendra James, which was a terrible, terrible insult to people in this community and an egregious example of how much power the police have in relationship to folks on the street. And what recently happened is, well, what happened when McAllister was suspended is the union immediately filed an appeal on his behalf, filed a grievance. What happened recently is that grievance went into arbitration and the arbiter decided in favor of McAllister and against the department, and they reinstated his back pay for that suspension and are wiping that suspension off of his record. McAllister returned to the force about a year later, and he's been an active cop. And that, in fact, was the reason that the arbiter decided in favor of the officer, is that apparently the police did not conduct a full internal affairs investigation before coming up with this, in quotes, punishment. So that tiny, 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 tiny gesture of accountability has now been eliminated.
Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes Jr. is the chairperson of the Albina Ministerial Alliance, Coalition for Justice, and pastor of Allen Temple Christian Methodist Episcopal Church in Northeast Portland.
The Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition emerged out of the Albina Ministerial Alliance Association, organization of 200 churches that have been in existence for the last 50 years in the city of Portland, representing primarily North and Northeast churches. It was out of the Kendall James shooting of an unarmed mother by Officer McAllister, the evolving of the coalition of bringing different groups together, the NAACP, the Urban League, the Neighborhood Association, Cop Watch, and many other groups of different diverse racial and cultural backgrounds gathered together to form a coalition to press the issue of justice in the Kendra James case, and this later continued to the Perez case also. Initially, we did several things with the Kendra James case. We led to the organizing of one of the largest marches in Portland of over 5,000 persons to protest the unnecessary use of deadly force against an unarmed mother, Kendra James. We also, from that point, began to do our own investigation. We led eventually to a report that was issued by the Albina Ministerial Coalition showing the discrepancies in the evidence that Officer McAllister contradicted himself in so many places. For instance, his initial testimony that he was at a certain place at the car, and then that testimony was changed. Also, the issue of Officer McAllister and his partner, Kenneth Reynolds, meeting at Appleby to fix their testimony and change their testimony. That later led to a whole new policy in the Portland Police Bureau that was pushed by the coalition, that officers cannot speak to each other immediately after a shooting. There were particular recommendations in the training that came out of the McAllister and the Perez case, such as policy. One of the things in the training that Officer McAllister and Reynolds and Bing, who was the initial officer that stopped Kendra James, officer training basically say that they should have come up with a plan to get her out of the car. They didn't do that, and of course, there was totally a lack of tactical organization. One person was trying to use a stun gun, the other one didn't know what the other one was using, and just the outright cowboy attitude of McAllister, he was going to just reach in and check out the car. We continue to look at a recommendation concerning the importance of having a clear, independent review board that will have some subpoena power to be able to subpoena officers to their testimony. You know, this continued to be a series of great injustice and unfair decisions. Failed to hold the officers accountable for their actions. This issue is a detriment to the African-American community and the community period, because it sends a signal that the police department can do what they want and that the those entities of justice will not hold them accountable.
Candace Larson is a representative of Rose City Cop Watch,
a grassroots police accountability organization in Portland, Oregon.
Complaints from folks against the cops around excessive use of force and misconduct is so frustrating and unfulfilling. You know, we have a process called the Independent Police Review Division, where supposedly you're allowed to lodge a complaint and have that investigated independently. And what actually happens is the Independent Police Review Division decides whether or not there's any merit to looking further at your claim. Was there misconduct alleged? And if so, they send it to internal affairs. And so what happens is there's an internal police investigation where they can either decide there wasn't any misconduct, in other words, the cop did what he thought was necessary, or that there was. If the internal affairs decides that there was, then the cops file a grievance, and this whole process starts, like what happened in McAllister's situation. All of these reports get sent back to internal police review. If you're not happy, the process just continues cycling back through internal affairs. Internal affairs has all the power to do the investigation. There is no independent review mechanism that has any standing or authority in this city. The officer doesn't need to be in any real danger in accordance with any kind of a standard, like what a reasonable person might consider to be in danger. They just have to be able to state, I felt that my life was in danger, in order to exercise deadly force.
You're listening to Circle A Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. Tonight's topic is the Kendra James murder. Kendra James was killed 2 years ago by Portland police officer Scott McAllister. After a brief 5-month suspension, McAllister was once again allowed to carry a gun and patrol the streets of Portland. And just last week, after a lawsuit filed by the police union, McAllister was given full back pay for those 5 months, as well as having the murder removed from his permanent record. We'll be hearing from Portland community members discussing their reaction to that decision, as well as what we can do to keep each other safe in the presence of a force that shows no accountability. This is Christian Williams, author of Our Enemies in Blue, published by Soft Skull Press.
Let me start by talking about what people think the police are for. Everybody's sort of unreflective intuition is that the police are there to do something about crime. And they do something about crime. I mean, it's not most of what they do, and they don't do it particularly well. They don't do it very fairly. But it's the mechanism in place to deal with that. What they do more of, and what they actually do very well, is they operate in ways that reinforce existing distributions of power. So people who are on the bottom of our social heap, the cops work to keep them there. People who are at the margins, the cops work to keep them there. So they do a lot of work around controlling public space, keeping people who the status quo wants to exclude out of it, and also any sort of social resource or any sort of political power, they work very hard to keep it in the hands of the people who currently have it. So in our current society, what that means is that poor people, people of color, they work to exclude, to marginalize, and to keep powerless. The function really has a lot more to do with politics than it does with crime.
Again, this is Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes.
The original report that was in reference to the Kendra Jane's case, what we did, we had a people investigation of, and we showed very clearly the contradictions in the officer's statement, McAllister, his initial testimony to say where he was placed, one foot in the car and one foot out of the car, contradicted what he said in his later testimony. We very showed clearly that the officers were familiar with Kendra James prior to the stop. Officer Bean had stopped her previously, and there was a deliberate attempt to not use appropriate elements to arrest her in unnecessary force. In fact, deadly force was used. It was an unnecessary shooting of an unarmed mother. Now, the second thing that we did, we had about 30 different recommendations to the city council concerning changes in policy, training, and investigation that would take place. Many of those have been implemented. One of the most important is the prohibition against officers conferring with each other. There are still issues in investigation. The officer can wait some time, 48 hours or 3 days, before they must talk to a detective, because the union has in the contract been given a lot of leeway, which a normal citizen would not have. The recent changes in the training and how to approach a car when stopping a car, and how to use other tactics rather than deadly force, we believe if implemented by the officers will lessen the amount of shootings of citizens that will take place. But you're dealing also with a mental cultural divide that it's a thing of them against us, you know. Most of the officers on the Portland Police Bureau are good, outstanding officers that are community-minded, but there are some that have that them against us, you know, and look at every person of color, in particular African-Americans, as being of a criminal or gang element. They feel that there's a sense to crush them, those African-Americans, in an oppressive way. Those kind of officers, we really need to start monitoring and eventually get off the force.
Well, in the wake of the Kendra James killing, the Portland Police Bureau changed their policy regarding shooting at moving vehicles, right? You're not supposed to shoot at a moving vehicle unless it's really mowing you down and there is nothing else you can do. You cannot get out of the way. You're not supposed to stop a suspect by shooting at a moving vehicle. You're not supposed to shoot at a moving vehicle if you can move, you know, all of this. And less than 2 months ago, a detective shot and killed an unarmed citizen in a moving vehicle.
The man, fatally shot January 4th, 2006, while steering a stolen car in reverse towards a Portland police lieutenant, was identified as 28-year-old Dennis Lamar Young. Young's shooting death happened after police lieutenant Jeff Carr's sister called him after noticing a suspicious car parked in front of her home in Northeast Portland. When Carr approached the vehicle along Northeast 64th Avenue, just south of Northeast Alameda Street, he found a man asleep behind the wheel and called for backup. Carr then opened the car door to try and wake Young. According to Portland Police spokesperson Sergeant Bryant Schmatz, quote, "He comes to, and the lieutenant is trying to put a control hold on him, and Young becomes combative," unquote. That's when Young drove forward, crashed into a tree, and put the car in reverse, towards the officers. Carr shot twice. One bullet struck Young, then Officer Lawrence Keller pulled out his taser and jolted the wounded Young. Young was then pulled out of the car and died at the scene. The Portland Police Bureau's deadly physical force policy was revised last year in regard to moving vehicles. The policy now says, quote, "A moving vehicle itself shall not presumptively constitute a threat that justifies the member's use of deadly physical force," unquote. Meaning, a moving vehicle isn't enough of a threat to shoot. There must be a, quote, "active threat," unquote, of death or serious injury by a person in the vehicle using another weapon.
you know, that policy meant nothing. And it will likely mean nothing to the future career of that detective. Right, so there are obviously policy and procedure problems in policing, but that, you know, the entire institution is a racist, violent institution, and tweaking policies. I mean, I think it's great to try and revise deadly force policies, but until we eliminate or radically change the entire institution of police, I don't think we significantly shift the balance of power back to people where it belongs.
Weeks after the Kendra James killing, a community forum was held. Portland residents were able to speak to members of the police, Mayor Vera Katz, and Chief Mark Croker. Portland residents voiced their anger at a police bureau out of control.
As a young man within this community, adding that I'm African American, there's already issues with police. But after these incidents, I'm even more scared. I'd rather trust a gang member than you. And the reason why I trust them is because at least I know that I have to do something to them for them to shoot me.
African Americans make up only 7% of Portland's population, but 20% of people shot by police have been black.
Is it police department policy to handcuff and leave a person unattended after being shot by a police officer?
Police did not answer this or many other questions asked by Portland residents, which further reinforced the blue shield of silence between police and civilians.
There's too many inconsistencies for me to believe that you've been a district attorney for a long time and you cannot even get an arraignment or an indictment against this officer. And that's just not good enough.
Among these inconsistencies, Officer McAllister claimed to have used pepper spray on Kinder James before shooting, but investigators found his spray canister full and locked. Also raised was the fact that the three officers involved in the shooting met at an Applebee's restaurant the next day, a chance to get their story straight. Christian Williams.
Every study that's been done, of which there have been dozens in the last 5 or 6 years, have found that everywhere that they do empirical research, the police stop way, way more people of color than they're actually represented in the population, and search them more often than they search white people, and they don't find guns or drugs on them any more often than they find guns or drugs on anybody else. And in many of the studies, they found remarkably less. And as a crime-fighting strategy, it is just a persistent failure. It doesn't work to keep guns or drugs or criminals off the street. So, you know, the police are stopping and then searching people of color at twice the rate of white people in a lot of cases. Or here in Portland, the numbers are actually that black people are 2.5 times as likely to get stopped by the Portland police as white people are. Those are the police bureau's own numbers. Those searches come up blank more and more. So it doesn't really work as far as any sort of crime-fighting strategy. On the other hand, it does work to keep people of color and black people in particular under the supervision of the criminal justice system, and to remind them of their lower status, to limit their mobility in a lot of cases.
Again, this is Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes.
It reminds me, as a former organizer in the civil rights movement and the SCLC, and it reminds me of the South during the 60s and the civil rights, when we could not get a conviction of a Klansman for killing a civil rights worker. It didn't matter how much evidence there was there. There just couldn't be a conviction. In fact, many of those cases are coming up now 30 and 40 years later. We're finally getting some Klansmen. The same type of mentality exists in the state of Oregon, in particular in Portland. They will not indict or hold an officer accountable for shooting an unarmed person of color. And what that does, it sends a message, a signal to the community that police officers who abuse that power will not be held accountable as any other citizen. It sends a message to the African-American community and people in color and poor people that police officers will not be held accountable. Also sends a clear message to any officer patrolling the street of Portland that they will not be held accountable for killing an African-American citizen. They can always stand behind the state statue that I felt my life threatening. And that's one of the reasons why the coalition has moved this effort also to the state legislature to change the state statute concerning the use of deadly force, and also the state statute concerning grand jury. We were able to get the grand jury thing out of committee at the last session of the state legislature. Senator Abel Gardley and the lead person on that, and with support of Senator Margaret Carter and many of the senators across the state, we were not able to get it passed. It was put on the back burner of the many other bills. And so we're going to continue to bring that up at the next session, as well as the grand jury issue. We want a transparent grand jury that we will be able to see from the records what actually goes on in the grand jury. It's just by the grace of God that we got this recent report of the city collaboration with the district attorney concerning the Perez case on January 25th in Oregonium, where the city attorney and the district attorney got together and to put a hired gun and to testify before the grand jury of Mr. William Lewinsky in support of the officer in the Perez case of Siri and McCumber. We have an opportunity to really press with the chief of police that we have, Derek Foxworth. I think he's committed to the community policing. I believe that the mayor is committed to community policing. But what we have to understand is that in the rank and file, there's a union and there are people within the bureau that want to keep the status quo. What we have to do is keep pressing for justice and changes because we barely avoided a riot taking place in the city over the Perez shooting.
This is Kane Leary from the PSU chapter of the NAACP.
We need to really just take it to the streets in whatever capacity that is, whether that's registering people to vote, whether that's writing letters, whether that's really taking it to the street, however you need to do it. But the police are just running rampant right now, crazy in this city. It's, you know, people talk about New York, people talk about Cincinnati, people talk about L.A. Portland is the problem for us, and we need to deal with that problem. We need to stop sitting back. I think it's time we, as Portlanders and as people, stop sitting back and talking about the system and start engaging the system. We need to get involved. We need to start taking action. Like I said, whatever capacity you feel you need to do that in, whatever. I'm not saying to just register people to vote, because I'm on the other side of the spectrum. I want to take it to the streets where it belongs, because if the police brutalize us, it's time we start standing up for ourselves. It's time we start standing up for our rights. How long are we going to sit back and allow ourselves to be brutalized? How long? We can't take it anymore. A man or a woman can only take so much brutalization before somebody wakes up and says, hey, I don't have to take this. Kendra James, all of these people who are just getting assassinated by the police for no reason, and if somebody come up on TV and say it was a mistake, is that going to bring Kendra James back? Is that going to bring this brother Perez back? It's not going to. So we as people need to take action. I encourage strong community building across color lines. Although this is, and we let's not be mistaken, this is a race issue, we must work beyond color lines, because they can't pigeonhole all of us together. If we all stand united one-on-one together, there's no way they can pigeonhole us. And you attack the system at its core. That's what we need to do. We need to start representing.
You know, in the case of Surrey, happening a year after the killing of Kendra James, there was, again, a huge public outcry, and a grand jury was convened, and a public inquest was called, and, you know, all kinds of things that are actually quite unusual. You know, generally, the police can shoot and kill somebody, and it is really pretty invisible after a couple of days, and these were a couple of cases where so much community outcry and public outcry forced some, you know, examining at least of the circumstances of those murders, and still nothing, zero, no consequences whatsoever for Jason Surrey. He has since resigned from the force, but he's not in jail. He's, you know, he's not paying for that shooting at all.
That was Candace Larson.
Again, this is Christian Williams.
Groups that are almost permanently excluded from real sources of power, especially people of color, and especially, again, the black population, suffer routine police abuse for a long period of time. Resentment over that accumulates, and at some point it reaches a point where they're just not going to take it anymore, and then everything explodes. We saw that most recently in Cincinnati. We saw it about 10 years before in Los Angeles. We saw it about 10 years before that in Miami. We saw it over and over and over again in cities all over the country during the 1960s. And again, that the effect of that kind of went in two directions. On the one hand, the Watts riot helped to trigger the transition of the civil rights movement from its nonviolent passive resistance into the more militant black power period of the later 60s. And the organizations like the Panthers largely stepped up their militancy in response to the anger that they were seeing expressed sort of in a disorganized fashion in these riots. At the same time, the police also responded. And the two trends that we see now of community policing, where there's this real effort to, like, put a happy face on all the stuff that the cops do, and militarization, where the police are becoming more and more armed, both of those came in response to the wave of unrest in the 1960s, and especially in some of the studies that were done about the grievances that triggered the riots, and almost all of the actual riots that occurred in the 60s, not just like protest marches that got called riots in the newspaper, but all of the actual riots were triggered by something that the police did. And, you know, before that, a thousand other things just like it that they had done. There became this sort of two-pronged effort, on the one hand to improve community relations, and on the other hand to really focus and sharpen up the repressive ability, so that if riots occurred, they would be better prepared to crush them right away.
Very, very high profile cases all over the country. Community outcry, every once in a while the officers will even go to trial, right? I mean, every once in a while the officers will even go to trial for use of force not quite up to actually killing somebody. You know, Rodney King being such a famous example of that, and what happened there, right? And, all acquitted, no consequences whatsoever. So it's over and over and over again, and it gets very tiring. Building power in the community is the key to shifting power away from the state, right? I mean, that's exactly right. If there is pressure from the community, it's going to change the behavior, but it's got to be an awful lot of pressure. I mean, there's an awful lot of power on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It's astonishing, really. And it's so much power that it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary to organize and build power in the face of the police and the amount of power that they have, and especially time after time seeing no change from that institution, right?
If people cop watch would be the key for the process of citizens participating in the monitoring process.
And that's two kind of bread and butter major areas of work that Rose City Cop Watch does are your rights in the police workshops, cop watching workshops, and then actually organizing patrols, cop watch patrols, where we go out and directly observe police activity. Both of these things really an effort to build that community power, right? If everybody knew what their rights were in relation to the police and felt confident exercising those rights, that starts to shift that power away from the state and back to folks. And it also hopefully keeps an awful lot of people out of jail, and that's a place where it's very hard to participate in community building efforts. Imagine if every time the police made a stop, it was totally normal and expected that folks from the neighborhood would be watching and documenting that stop. So we really are focusing on trying to build a cop watching ethic in the community, trying to build those skills in folks, trying to involve volunteers in our patrols, encourage people to take that on as a regular, normal, completely legal. It's our right and responsibility to be able to do this. That is some real community building power there, right? And hopefully has a direct effect on the police's ability to misuse their force and misuse their power. In the wake of the Kendra James murder, there was a group called Portland Community Liberation Front, which was a people of color-led organization that started patrols in North and Northeast Portland, and we collaborated with them a little bit over a period of nearly a year running those patrols, and that was really awesome. I think that with the advent of videography and some of the high-profile videoing of police stops that folks have seen over the years, that's becoming more common than it used to be. It certainly is something that one can do on one's own, but it, we'd be really excited to see that build in kind of organized, well-organized community patrols that more and more people were involved in, both because it's safer and more effective that way and because it's a strategy for building community at the same time that you're watching the police.
Job at, because I bet you if one of us kill each other, they're gonna put us in jail. Why won't they put them in jail? I'm not safe. I'm seriously not safe, and I will not be safe until the killing stops. And even when the killing stops, I thought after Kendra James, I was like, okay, the killing stopped, you know. Next thing I know, this is my homeboy, somebody that, you know, he was like a big brother to me. He gets killed. I'm not safe on the streets no more. I'm too scared to walk home after practice. I used to want to be a police officer, but no more. I don't want to be a police officer. I would never want to be a police officer.
become a pamphlet by Rose City Cop Watch called Your Rights and the Police for use in Portland, Oregon.
When you're stopped, stay calm, keep your hands visible, be careful what you say. If you want to leave, ask, am I free to go? If you are not driving, you do not have to carry ID. You do not have to identify yourself, but if you refuse, police may take you into custody. It is not a crime to be without ID.
If you are driving, you must show your license, registration, and proof of insurance. If you are suspected of drinking and refuse to take a breath test, your license may be suspended.
If police want to search you, they may pat you down to check for weapons. Make it clear you do not consent to any further search. Just say, I do not consent to a search. If they say they have a search warrant, ask to see it. If they are searching your home or your car with probable cause, make it clear you do not consent to a search.
If you are arrested, you do not have to answer any questions other than identifying yourself. Don't offer excuses or explanations. Anything you say can be used against you. Just say, I don't want to answer any questions. I want to talk to a lawyer.
If you are cop watching, let officers know you don't intend to interfere with the arrest. Say, I am here to observe. I do not intend to interfere. This means staying 10 feet or more away from the action and not trying to distract the officers or the arrestee's attention.
If you are the victim of police misconduct, get the names of all officers involved and supervisors' names if possible. Get names and numbers of any witnesses.
If you are the victim of police misuse of force, document injuries right away. You may wish to pursue any number of routes, from filing a complaint with the Independent Police Review Division to filing a lawsuit.
For more information, you can contact Rose City Cop Watch at rosecitycopwatch.org or 503-993-9464. You've been listening to Circle A Radio. On Saturday the 11th, there will be an anti-police violence demonstration remembering Fuad Qadi. It will begin at noon at the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office at 2223 Kahan Road in Oregon City. The Clackamas County Sheriff's Office is accessible by TriMet bus number 33. Circle A Radio is on the air the first and third Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. here on KBOO. But our next regularly scheduled show will be preempted for the Homeless Marathon. The Homeless Marathon is a wonderful program, and it'll be on the air all day February 15th. Be sure to check it out. We'll be back on the air March 1st. We love hearing from you. Drop us a line at info@circlearadio.com and check out our website, now with archive programs, at circlearadio.org. Thanks for listening.
Comfortably, and the heavens wept. Man, you threw me for a loop. Had me questioning existence like why I'm still living. And do angels give kisses? Cause sometimes in the middle of the night, I can feel you by my side saying let's ride. So I hug myself a little stronger, bring the pain closer. Get mad at the world and once again regain composure. Closure, can't seem to find that these days. Seems like everywhere I look, another soldier's laid. My love, you look so peaceful, wanted to give you two breaths. Pump 5 times on your chest to break the silence that you left. Instead, I pay respects, caressed your cold face, whispered you know I'll always love you with the amazing grace.
Oh, I so desire. I don't wanna know. I got to know, not to know. Falling angels in the sky. Why must all I so desire? I don't wanna know. I got to know.
Sometimes you visit in my dreams. I wake up in a sweat trying to catch my breath. Clutching on my breath. Best believe you're not forgotten. Those sweet memories. Gem of a G. Guess them busters couldn't see. Lord forgive them, for they know not what they take. Raise the stakes, twist the fate. Tell me who gon' take the weight. Patiently meditate, I sense your awe in my presence. Killed so savagely, still it's beauty in your essence. You weren't the last, just the first in a succession of the many fallen angels I have known. Confession, the pain never goes away. It only lessens, the questions never stop. Just learn to live in the present. Resilient I got to be, so the next death don't break me. At peace within myself, so no regrets if they should take me. What the denomination? When I step into a house of God, there's no hesitation. Drop softly to my knees under the flickers from the candles. Try to get a handle, then I speak to you.
My love, I hope you're doing fine. Just another day round the way, and you are on my mind.
Take a moment to relax, gradually fade to black. Give thanks and praises, and then I step back and softly, I sway silently. I can hear you say goodbye to me, and it makes me smile. Close my eyes and picture you, pacified for the moment when I'm that close to you. True indeed, I wish you never left, till you remain in my cipher. It's all in the breath.
You are listening to Portland KBOO. You've been listening to Circle A Radio on Saturday the 11th. There will be an anti-police violence demonstration reminding Fuad Qadi. It will begin at noon in Clackamas County Sheriff's Office at 2223 Keon Road in Oregon City. The Clackamas County Courthouse is accessible by TriMet bus number 33. Circle A Radio is on the air the first and third Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. here on KBOO. But our next regular scheduled show will be permitted for the Homelessness Marathon. This is a wonderful program. Be sure to check us all out on the day of February 15th. We'll be back on the air March 1st. We love hearing from you. Drop us at a line and info@circlearadio.com and check out our website now with archive programs at circlearadio.org. Thanks for listening to Circle A Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 16th annual Cascade Festival of African Films from February 3rd through March 4th. This year's festival highlights include films from Angola opening and closing the festival, and an examination of the African legacy in Mexico through screening, symposium, and community conversation. Additionally, there will be a spotlight on AIDS in Africa, Women Filmmakers Week, and appearances by some of the directors at the film festival. For more information, visit AfricanFilmFestival.org or call 503-244-6111, extension 3630.
Jump if you get belly to put on. Drink if you get belly to take on. Enjoy yourself as you think you sabi. Enjoy yourself as you think you sabi.